The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
There will be little international support of any kind whatsoever for anything that deviates from the legitimate constitutional process that is in place and being worked on now. They need to finish that and give a new government an opportunity to be voted on and move forward.
Here we go again. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Secretary of State John Kerry, the situation in Iraq. The president on Monday pulled the rug out from underneath Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Whew. It's about time. This should have happened years ago. So Washington jumping into the game by supplying arms to Kurds, trying to hold back the crazy extremists. The president reluctantly last week, and you have to say it was reluctant, launched airstrikes into the country when he ended, you know, where he ended the U.S. war. And hope that this new prime minister would begin to ease the divisions that have fueled the crisis in that country. Joe Biden, the VP, called Prime Minister designate Haider al-Abadi an ally of Maliki, who was an erstwhile, because you got to throw that word in, ally of Maliki, who was tasked by the president with forming a new government. And he stressed over and over again, and do you, if you believe this, there will be no American military action to the Iraq crisis, and the nomination of Abadi's is a promising step toward changing things in that country. How about that? I mean, there's never been a love, I think, for Nouri al-Maliki. Initially, perhaps, initially in the first couple of years, he got support in Washington. And the president didn't even once mention his name in any of his remarks. None. Just to say that all Iraqi political leaders need to work peacefully through the political process in the days ahead. Remember, this was the whole thing with the press. He opposed the war. He promised, "I will bring your sons and daughters back." The problem is the religious factions in that country, Sunnis, Shiites, Kurds, I can't say it enough. You re-racked shows of mine 5 years ago, I'd be saying it. This is the problem. This is the problem. It's a religious war that's gone on for a very, very long time. By the way, the military, while it's saying we're not going to do this, we're not going to have boots on the ground, did confirm they carried out an airstrike, another airstrike, late Sunday, which we talked about on a previous show, against the Islamic State, which is now what ISIS has called itself, to a convoy, and that they were going to attack Kurdish forces protecting their capital. But the president has said, and he said on Monday, he reiterated it, because this is the fear of so many. Oh, no, here we go again. But he's ruled out sending back ground troops and has said that it's up to Iraq's government, not the United States, to defend. It's not up to us. In fact, even the Lieutenant General William Mayville, speaking to reporters at the Pentagon, said there is no mission creep, no plans to expand the current air campaign beyond self-defense activities, is what he's calling it. So this is the reassurance that Americans want, because we do not want to get involved in this situation. I shouldn't say everybody, because there are people that think we should, but I don't think we should. We did our years in Iraq. We are done with that. So many brilliant people helped train the troops there and the police forces. So the bottom line is, after all of that, We cannot do a redo. We cannot. It would be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. In the meantime, actor-comedian Robin Williams was found dead on Monday at his home in Northern California, shocking a lot of people from an apparent suicide, is what the Marin County coroner's office is saying. He was 63 years old. When you think of Robin Williams and you think of the amount of movies, comedy, animated voices, the depth and breadth of his work was absolutely incredible. I'd be hard-pressed to find something in his bag of tricks that you didn't like. And he was just that kind of guy. But he was battling severe depression. His press representative said that just a month ago, he said he was returning to a 12-step treatment program, and he said he needed, after 18 months of nonstop work, that he was seeking treatment throughout his life. But in 2006, he had a relapse after 20 years of sobriety. So this was something that was going on. His wife, Susan Schneider, released a statement saying, "This morning I lost my husband and my best friend. While the world lost one of its most beloved artists and beautiful human beings, I am utterly heartbroken. On behalf of Robin's family, we're asking for privacy during our time of profound grief. As he is remembered, it is our hope the focus will not be on Robin's death, but on the countless moments of joy and laughter that he gave to millions." What a great thing to say. People forget, but he was brilliant at impersonations. I love people who do impersonations. He did everyone from Keith Richards to John Wayne and think of people in between. He was the cartoon genie in Aladdin. He won his Academy Award in a dramatic role as a therapist in the film Good Will Hunting. And certainly on stage with Billy Crystal, he was just absolutely brilliant. If you go back to his Tonight Show appearances with Johnny Carson, he showed what he was probably, born to do in an early age, because he was part of that whole Mork and Mindy. He was Mork for that television show. He won a ton of awards, but it wasn't about the awards for him. I think it was about the need to perform. And perform he did. Definitely. All kinds of things, from Night at the Museum, which was, I think, terrific. Also, he did many Saturday Night Live appearances. Just a very clever, funny man. And the world is a little bit sadder tonight, I have to say. The loss of Robin Williams, who had returned to television, was doing a sitcom for a while, and affected the lives of many of the people around him, the actors, the crew, etc. He will be missed. Robin Williams, dead at the age of 63. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Tonight in our virtual green room, Rabbi Ari Spiro is with us. You loved him last time. He is the author of Pushback, Reclaiming Our American Judeo-Christian Ethos. And, you know, Rabbi, it's interesting when you look at what's happening. And, of course, the latest things, I'm going to kind of jump around. I call it the quicksand in the Middle East. The latest thing that's happening that we're seeing in Iraq is so many Christians fleeing as fast as they can to get away from ISIS and some of the horrible things that are happening there. As you watch that unfold, and you know you had the Sunnis and the Shiites and, of course, the Kurds, and melting that all together and the way that we went about that, if you go back to the beginnings of Iraq and now what's happened, as you look at this incredible chaos and crisis, you're not surprised by this, are you?
No, because we know that for the last 10, 15 years, different Muslim groups have been killing Christians all throughout Africa. They did it in Sudan. They did it in Nigeria. Even in Egypt, they were murdering the Coptics and raping the women. So this is something that's been going on, except it has not been reported by the mainstream media, because the mainstream media never wants Islam to look guilty or bad. We also don't know about it because the president of the United States for 6 years has remained silent while one Islamic group after another has slaughtered Christians across Africa and parts of Asia and parts of the Middle East. He said nothing. If the Israelis build an apartment in Jerusalem so people can have a family, we hear from him with such vitriol and condemnation, but we don't hear any anything from him deploring the massacres of the Muslim extremists, radicals, whatever you want to call them, ISIS, Boko Haram, Shiites, Muslim Brotherhood, Hezbollah, Hamas. You hear nothing about it from him. So I'm not surprised, because this has been going on. And we also haven't heard, unfortunately, throughout these years from the church. The Catholic Church has been too quiet. Too quiet. I've heard from people in Africa, black people who are Catholics, and they feel left down, really let down by the church that has not raised in the last 10 years any type of real call against what's happening. That's one thing. And the second thing I want to say is like this, Katie. Now we know why Israel has to do what it has to do. Because it doesn't make a difference if it's ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, they're all the same. And if Israel wouldn't protect itself, they would find itself being slaughtered, millions of them, by Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, and why do you think there's an uprising somewhat? I don't think it's as, I don't know, I don't think it's as vast as many people say, but but you do hear. Why is there this, you know, this reach to punch Israel in the gut and criticize Netanyahu when he's doing exactly what you said, protecting the country, doing what they have to do because they can't rely on anybody else, let's face it.
Three reasons. Number one, people do not want to admit, leaders do not want to admit that there's a big problem from large segments of the Islamic community who have in their charter the obligation to kill, murder Jews, Christians, infidels, Hindus. That's what they want to do. World leaders don't want to recognize it, because if they do, they have to do something about it. They don't have the stomach to do it. So what they do is they condemn those people like Israel that try to defend against it. Second thing, you've got a left-wing media. The left-wing media hates America, hated every war America was in, and so they hate Israel. Those who hate America hate Israel, and those who hate Israel hate America because they're outposts of democracy, the Judeo-Christian ethos, the Bible. And so the left has been against every war America has undertaken, so they're against the wars of Israel. And the left also believes that anything that's done by white people, Christian people, white people, Jewish people, somehow we're all guilty of being colonizers and oppressors. So they're never going to take the, never going to support Israel or America. And then you have, of course, your good old-fashioned anti-Semitism. I guess it didn't go away. And you have it in all throughout Europe, because Europe has become Muslim. What, 20% in some places? And then you've got the lefties that are anti-Jewish and some of the old righties. So anti-Semitism, leftism, and the inability, the unwillingness to face the reality of the charge of Islam marching forward to destroy Western civilization.
Yeah. Rabbi, when you look at the president, you talk about the policy and the president being silent and whatnot, and no matter what Muslim group it is, and you think of the Arab Spring, what happened to the so-called celebrated Arab Spring and how all this was coming together? It was a big flop, right?
Oh, it never was an Arab Spring. I called it an Arab Winter right away. I was the Israel man, the Middle East man for the Washington Times, their radio, and then later for the American Morning News, when everybody was celebrating, because everybody wanted to hope so badly that in the Arab world there's this yearning for democracy in Jefferson and Adam and Washington and the Gettysburg Address. Everybody was yearning. I knew it wasn't so. And I knew that it would end up where the Muslim Brotherhood would co-opt and would take away some of the good yearnings in the Arab world. They would co-opt that, and they would get in charge, and they would become in charge. And that's what President Obama wanted all the while. He wanted Mubarak out. Mubarak was too Western, and he wanted the Muslim Brotherhood to come in. He didn't want Gaddafi. Gaddafi, for most of his life, was a bad guy, but towards the end, he saw the light and said, you know, I better be on the side of the West, and Obama didn't want him either. So I always knew that the Arab Spring would be an Arab Winter, and I always knew that President Obama did not want Western-style real freedom in Egypt. He wanted the Muslim Brotherhood. Just like in this war, he's backing Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, against the democracy, Israel. Barack Obama is a radical man, Katie. He's not a liberal. He's a Marxist. he's not just a Muslim sympathizer. He seems to sympathize. He chooses leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. And he's not some civil rights, black civil rights leader. He's someone who's a fan of Malcolm X. He's a very radical guy. I don't care how many Armani suits he has and how much ice cream he and basketball he plays.
So he just toned it down, and his handlers did to get him elected?
He's very adept at this. He's very adept at making people think that he is whatever they hope he is to be. Hope and change. He knew he could do that. He would have every American think that Barack Obama represented the hope that that particular American wanted, except me. I didn't put any hope in him because I'm a conservative, I'm a patriot, I love my country, and I love the Constitution, and I'm a fan of Israel. But to other people, also listen, a lot of people were caught up in the whole thing of being involved in the historic moment of voting for the first black president. But I don't think people should vote for people based on the historical new chapter of creation. You vote for someone who will defend your country, improve the economy, protect your children, and you vote for someone who loves the country. This is 6 years later. I can't say that Barack Obama loves the country. I heard someone say something the other day that was very smart, very right. She said, you know, you can see that Netanyahu loves his people. He's fighting for them. He's taking world criticism. They're punching him and punching him, but he loves his people. He's going to protect them. I don't know that Barack Obama loves the American people. I don't know how much he wants to protect us. I really don't. When there's Islamic violence here in the country, like at Fort Hood, when they killed all those people and they were yelling Allah Akbar, what did they say? It's workplace violence. And so he puts it all like to the side, nothing to worry about. Well, if you protect someone, you want to protect someone because you love them, you don't shove it to the side and call it workplace violence. You make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. What do you make of Hillary Clinton and the public comments? Wow, really stepping away from the press and completely throwing to the side, rejecting the foreign policy doctrine of Obama, especially the decision to, with the backing the Syrian rebels and saying it was a complete abject failure. So she's doing some distancing. Is this more about politics than anything else because she's going to run?
Absolutely, it's about politics. Listen, she was his Secretary of State for, 4 years? She implemented the policy, and it wasn't as if she was some schoolgirl that had to listen to him. She's Hillary Clinton. If she didn't agree, she could have left after the first year. She sure did it. For someone who didn't agree with it, she did a very zealous job of implementing it. I remember when she got on the phone and lambasted Prime Minister Netanyahu because he allowed the building of some apartments in Jerusalem. My God, it's a Jewish city. There should be Jewish apartments. So she seemed to have her heart in putting the Obama policy into play. But, now she's running, and she knows that he's very unpopular. So she's distancing herself from Obama. But, listen, Hillary Clinton she's the same. She's a left-winger. Don't kid yourself. A left-winger number one.
I like that. Rabbi, don't be a stranger. You're fun to have on the show. Rabbi Spiro, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Hey, my pleasure. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30 bottle, 30 days summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Time is spinning round and round, round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name.
A lot of people reacting to the death of Oscar-winning actor Robin Williams at the age of 63, a suspected suicide. Marin County coroner released a statement saying the death was suspected to be a suicide due to asphyxiation. They're still actually going through the process, but that's the original statement coming out of the coroner's office. So there you go. And the world reacting to the loss of Robin Williams. Many of you caught on to this quickly and sent in several emails. Let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Chaz, who says, hey, Kate, been listening to the show. I promise I'll call in eventually at some point. I like your soothing tones in a mad, mad world. I think that Robin Williams was a mad, mad comic genius. He was certainly the guy who stole my heart in Good Will Hunting. Ever since I saw him in that movie, that's when I got hooked into Robin Williams. And I think that the things that he did after that, and then I went back and looked at some of the previous things, like Good Morning Vietnam, were equally as interesting and so well done. It's very sad that he was battling depression, as so many people in this country do. It just goes to show you, depression doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're poor or have money, if you're talented or not. It just does not discriminate. Perhaps more eyes will be opened to the fact that depression is a very, very serious thing that has permeated all walks of life in this country. Keep up the good work. You know, that's the other part of it. He, no matter what, he was definitely struggling with depression. I mean, his wife said it. He admitted it. That was great about Robin Williams. He talked about his life. He talked about when he was in certain interviews, he talked about dealing with alcohol and that addiction and dealing with depression. And it's a tough, tough thing. I luckily do not, I think all of us have some form of feeling depressed, but serious depression, I have dealt with it around me, and it is really tough when you love people and you're trying so hard to pull them out of it and you just can't because they live in their head and there's just a horrible thing that I think goes through the minds of people who suffer at different levels with it. And it's tough. It's tough to exist in the world. And so look at this guy, a guy with plenty of friends, real authentic friends and family. And it was obviously a very incredibly debilitating thing for Robin Williams. All right, here's another one. This one from Bob in Illinois. He said, Kate, time for my weekly email. On a sad note, Robin Williams, my hero. I fought in the Vietnam War. He told that story so well. It brought me to tears, tears of laughter when I saw Good Morning Vietnam. It turned a corner for me, actually, in watching that. I like so many things that he did. I could go on and on, but I believe he was a humanitarian from things that I read. Of course, just knowing him from a fan perspective, but I choose to believe that he was that authentic guy, and it came through in his work. RIP, Robin Williams. Yeah, I think that's a lot of what is being said, frankly. The other things that he did for people and how pleasant he was, how he lived what the most normal life he could live outside of the San Francisco area, and just when people recognized him, would stop and talk and didn't throw down the Hollywood attitude thing or whatever. And you could certainly see that in the reaction to so many people in the area where he lived to the loss of Robin Williams. Okay, a couple more in that vein where people were talking about Robin Williams. This one from Cody, who says, rock on, Robin Williams. In the afterlife, he will be just as loved as he was here on Earth. I know there's another side. He's already there, man, and he's already entertaining them. Just got to be really rough for his family. What a loss he would be, huh? Yeah, what a loss he would be at some of those family parties, probably. Well, just in general, because he had children and he had a wife and he had some ex-wives that he, I think at least one of them, he still managed to be pretty close to, but you know, you get the 911 call and they go into his house and he's unconscious and not breathing and that's it, unfortunately. And then it turns out it's Robin Williams, dead at the age of 63. Here's another one. This one from Lori, who says, Kate, lots of us are listening out there. Never think that we aren't. We've just been checking you out here in Sarasota. I know you're a big fan and have family in Florida. We already have adopted you. Make sure that you come and do a personal appearance in Sarasota. I think that Robin Williams was a person who could almost be like a chameleon in so many of his performances. It wasn't just about the crazy, silly antics and laughter. He had a way to reach younger people through his cartoon voices like Aladdin, and he also had a way to reach older people in some of the more dramatic things that he did, and the crazy side that he could be a little raunchy reached other people. He really stretched across all imaginations, and there was no boundary to the talent of Robin Williams. He will be missed. Well said. There is no, I guess there was no boundary. That's a good way to say it. He took that leap. He took the leap of whether he might have been fearful taking the leap. He he definitely, in his professional life, took big leaps and risks with so many of the projects that he took on. I mean, you can tell that because people might be great at a certain form of comedy or even doing a sitcom that is comedic in whatever form that is, but they don't have the chops in a different way for serious roles or heart-touching roles that just bring people to tears. But he was that guy. I mean, you know, he absolutely was that guy, and he had a lot of breakthrough roles. I think it wasn't just one breakthrough role. I think it was a couple of roles. I like him in a movie that some people didn't like and some people did like, called The Fisher King, where he was a homeless guy, but he was homeless because of a tragedy, the backstory of his family, and he befriends a DJ. And that's the story of the two of them and all that happened to him, and then trying to give him a so-called normal life. And he just was incredible in that movie. And it was one of those movies, too, that, you know, when somebody tells you about it and you really don't have great interest, but you kind of tag along, it was one of those kind of movies for me. So he certainly appeared in a lot of comedies, but other roles as well. His stand-up, some people that saw him at different points say he was legendary. He was voted 13th, I was reading, on Comedy Central's list of 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. That's pretty high praise when you think of the comedians, 13 out of 100. So more emails quickly. This one from Susan, who says, Kate, really enjoying the show and keep up the good work. But I'll tell you what, it was very sad to hear about Robin Williams. Hard to believe to me. He seems like he's way too young to die. And sad if he took his own life in battling what is the devil for so many people, depression. You can imagine some of the details that might emerge from that. But I hope it's his work that people will remember, because he was absolutely a treasure. There will never be another Robin Williams. And that is the highest praise that you can heap on somebody. Never will there be another one like him. Absolutely, I agree with that. I think that he was one of a kind. There may be, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery, I think is how it goes. And I think there'll be some imitators, and there have been people that have taken pieces of Robin Williams, but there will never be another Robin Williams. Okay, on a different note, I wanted to squeeze a couple of these in. This one from Jack, who writes to us from Missouri, and he says, Kate, it's so sad what's happened in Ferguson, and as the details come out, we'll see how the story goes. But the looting and the rioting in honoring some kid who was 18 years old, it was so wrong for his family and so many others in that town to rip off your own people and to have it get to the point where you have to have tear gas thrown into the crowds is just unbelievably sad to me. As a Missourian, I have a very heavy heart after all of this. And another one on the same lines, Bruce just quickly says, I have to say that I cannot believe what the people are doing in Ferguson on Sunday night. It was supposed to be a vigil, and it was supposed to be about honoring Michael Brown, the 18-year-old black boy, teenager who was shot. And unfortunately, that turned really, really sad with police cars getting smashed and fires and tear gas, and just a terrible, terrible thing. I imagine we'll get some more of those details in the upcoming days. Yes, we certainly will. Right now, though, we're turning to Derek Green, the Project 21, talking about amnesty and what that would mean for the black community. Stay with us.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you ever feel like you live in an alternate universe? As the stock market hits new highs, the middle class are dying. Manipulated financial markets and economic figures, chaos on our border, China and Russia bypassing the dollar. Life is getting ready to change. You need to prepare to thrive in the new economy. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's 888-507-8789.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We've been talking about this for a while here on America Tonight, of course, what's going on with illegal immigration and intentionally allowing millions of illegal immigrants into what is already a backbreaking economy, already stressed to an unbelievable point. But what's really become pretty interesting is looking at it from a couple of different angles. And one of the angles that's worth exploring is from our friends at Project 21, members of that black leadership group that they've just been tremendous. Here on America Tonight, and the comments about the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and the study findings from academia, from Cornell, no less, University of Chicago and Harvard, show that the black population will suffer tremendously if the president takes this unilateral across the board, if you will, executive action to grant work permits to the millions of illegal aliens. So we've had Derek Green on before. He's just a terrific guest. And Derek, I know that you have been blogging about this along with some of the other things that you've been talking about. And I think people don't understand some of the aspects that will happen if there is this magic wand that waves and there's this amnesty. So how does it affect black Americans?
negatively, to put it bluntly, when you introduce this type of number of people into the country that are all going to be trying to compete with jobs with other unemployed people, you're going to find the competition, which is normally a good thing, increased. The reason it's not a good thing this time around is because we don't have enough jobs to go around. We don't have enough jobs for people who are unemployed who are already here, let alone injecting, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 million illegals into the picture. So it negatively affects black Americans in that way. We look at black American unemployment, and we've seen that over the last five and a half years, black Americans have had sustained levels of high unemployment. It's always been near or about double the national rate. Right now, black unemployment is over 11%. Under Barack Obama, the unemployment rate has reached 16% several times, over 11 times. Black teen unemployment is a shade under 35%. It's only been under 35% five times since the president, since Barack Obama has been president, and it's been almost 50% on three separate occasions. So when you inject a number of people who are low-skilled into an economic situation in which the low-skilled are already struggling to find employment, the outcome is going to be depressed wages. Ultimately, it's going to be higher unemployment rates for black Americans because blacks get discouraged from looking for jobs because they know that illegal immigrants prize these type of low-skilled jobs and they're willing to work for lower pay. So not only does it depress wages, it increases unemployment. And so the situation directly affects black Americans, particularly those who are poor and low-skilled, directly and disproportionately.
Yeah, were you happy to see that, obviously, when you see that the research bears this out, because I mentioned, so I didn't give the specifics of it, and we will talk about that here on America Tonight, but just the impact of amnesty on black Americans, specifically what they concluded just even a few years ago, but now when you look at the joint paper by the professors at the University of Cali and the University of Chicago and Harvard for the National Bureau of Economic Research, they pretty much conclude the same, that immigration has measurably, as you just mentioned, lowered black wages. And how crazy is that, and how discouraging is that to the legal black population in America?
That's right. And what this academic research does is it confirms what common sense already tells us. It gives us the numbers and the details behind what we already know to be true and what will happen. And for the president to and his advisors to consider or be considering giving amnesty to this many people, knowing that it's going to disproportionately affect what many in America would call his most loyal base, black Americans, it just, to me, it seems that he doesn't necessarily care too much about the ramifications of the day-to-day life, the practical implications on black Americans who are struggling to find work. But at the same time, it should also give black Americans pause to say, listen, we've supported this guy out of racial empathy over the last 5 years. He hasn't really done much for us to either thank us or even give us a smidgen of recognition for that support. Now he's going to unilaterally, you know, make legal 6, 7, 8, 9 million illegal immigrants that are going to be competing with us, not only for jobs, but in education. Maybe we need to start reassessing our political loyalties and start expanding and opening ourselves up to new ideas that and to policies that are going to help us out economically.
Yeah, and you also look at this, and you mentioned this in the low-skilled labor market. The other problem is this with the surplus, what you were talking about, is it suppresses the wages too, don't you think?
That's right. That's right. I mean, once you increase the number of low-skilled workers, then, you know, the supply goes up, and which means you don't have to pay them as much because you can the employers and these businesses, it's their market. They can pick and choose who they want to work for them, and they can set the wages where they are. So if people say, you know, those wages are too low and we don't want to work for them, there's so many other people out there willing to work for those wages that it's not a problem, and that's where it really benefits. That's where the wage suppression comes in because that's what happens. And again, when you're dealing with a population who's willing to work below a particular amount, below a minimum wage, that increases that competition for Black Americans to go out and compete for jobs that sometimes they may not want. But if they you know, if they don't want those jobs and the pay is lower, you know, you're going to have a double whammy.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too. One of the things that was cited is this Dr. Harry Holzer from Georgetown and the Urban Institute, which you know this, has shown in the research and the evidence that he has from a couple of different studies that employers have a preference for hiring immigrants over Black citizens because they think they're stronger work ethic. You have to be kidding me. I think that's insulting.
Well, you know, on the surface, it is insulting because, you know, you think about it and you say, okay, well, what is it about? Why would he say that? But at the same time, he uses that because even on the surface, it looks insulting. That observation in some areas, not all, but in some areas is backed up by real experience. And that's what you have to look at. There's that thing called the immigrant work ethic in which, you know, they're coming in and they're going to work hard. They're going to work long hours because whatever these jobs are here, which many Americans, regardless of color, see as beneath them, for many of these illegal immigrants or even legal immigrants, they see these jobs as a way up. These jobs and the pay they get are much better than what they would find in their home country. So they're much more willing to do that. But at the same time, one has to take pause because you say, well, you know, we have a lot of unskilled labor in the Black community, and some of these young men would want jobs, but they just can't find a way to get into the workforce for a number of reasons. One, again, like I said previously, there's just not enough jobs to go around. But two, some of these young blacks, teens, and even some in early adulthood just haven't had the work history. They haven't developed the work skills. And so to pay them an amount that's disproportionate to the work skills or work history, i.e. the minimum wage, also freezes them out of the job market. So his observation is guided by experience, but there's other issues that are going on with that as well.
Yeah, do you think there would be blowback from the Black community in general if there's this, again, across-the-board amnesty and this thought continues?
I think so, but we have to be careful. We have to find out what part of the Black community we're talking about. If we're talking about the Black elites, the academics, the politicians, there's going to be no blowback because many of them support an open borders policy, whether it's the NAACP that was against Arizona's 1070 bill several years ago, which was just nothing more than enforcing federal immigration laws, or you have the Congressional Black Caucus whose districts, even though they're majority Black, they're increasingly Hispanic, and so they're for open borders as well because the first thought on their mind is self-preservation. So when you have those types of Black elites who are arguing for open borders, they're going to support the president. The blowback is going to come from the average, everyday Black American who, you know, lives in the inner city or who's going to be directly affected by the influx of immigrants, whether it's increased competition for fewer job opportunities, whether it's, you know, an influx of these illegal immigrants into the education system that's already depleted of money and resources. Now, that's going to have to be split from educating poor Black children to hiring teachers that speak Spanish or an Indian dialect of Spanish to teach these kids who don't speak English, or, again, spread out resources in the medical community. You know, poor people, you know, some of them don't have access to medical care, and now we're going to put, you know, 8 million more people into the system that's going to spread those resources even thinner. So I think the blowback is going to come from the Black Americans who have to deal personally on a practical level the implications of these policies. The Black elite, you know, they have the money, they have the resources to insulate themselves from the consequences of supporting bad policy, so it's everyday Black Americans don't. And I think that's where you're going to see the blowback come from.
Yeah. All right, well said. Derek Green, Project 21, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. free. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.